Welcome to Hot D, the officially unofficial podcast for House of the Dragon on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking Season 1, Episode 7, Driftmark. Aaron, what did you think of this episode?
I thought this was a great episode. I know a lot of people have already gotten added. A lot of people found this episode too dark, not in subject matter, but in the amount of contrast and bright pixels on the screen.
Okay.
And I think it's on that ragged edge. Now, I have a pretty good television that I've adjusted, and I was watching it in a pitch black room with some proper backlighting for my television, and I didn't have an issue. I thought it was is pretty well done. Maybe not as, you know, like I think my gold standard benchmark for nighttime beach lovemaking scenes is Moonlight, the movie. And it wasn't that good. But I thought most of it was okay. It was okay. If you've got, you know, suboptimal lighting systems or lighting conditions or suboptimal television viewing conditions, maybe that would be a big thing. But subject matter wise, I hope everybody understands now why they kind of yada yada over Lena, you know, claiming Vhagar, because they'd be in an awkward position of eclipsing the much cooler Aemon claiming Vhagar. And I thought that, you know, again, this is a little bit of a remix of what happens in the books, but I thought that was awesome. The whole scene, I was like, say the fucking line, kid, say the fucking line. And when he said, it's, you know, essentially it's my eyes, a fair trade for a dragon, I'm like, yes, because I almost thought they're going to pull a Game of Thrones and just not say this iconic scene, the line. But I liked it. I thought, the shit with Lainor at the end was an interesting curveball. I loved the, you know, how crazy and stabby the funeral got. Just how increasingly it feels like a powder keg. Yeah, I really liked this episode. I thought it was exactly... I thought this is an episode that, maybe darkness aside, would make a lot of people forget about the time jump and like, oh, I wanted to see this and oh, I wanted to see that, because this stuff is more interesting, you know? I think. What'd you think?
I don't know if it's more interesting, but it's certainly interesting in its own right. I don't always turn my lights off in my viewing area when I watch this, but today I did, and I'm glad I did, because I felt like it was borderline too dark. It was all, like, half this thing was taking place in twilight. Like, it's really the twilight scenes that bother me. If you get to the night parts, those are totally fine. I was just like, somebody light a damn fire out here on the balcony because it is getting dark.
Yeah, why are these people all staying, all these trueborn, highborn people standing in the dark? Yeah, no, I mean,
light a fire. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was watching those scenes also thinking, this seems like it has taken down the action a notch from previous episodes. And for like the first 10 or 15 minutes, I'm like, it's going to be a pretty slow episode. I better buckle up. And it turns out I should have buckled up for an entirely different reason, because, like Vhagar, this episode was about to fucking blast off. I couldn't believe how much ground we cover in the last, like, 10 minutes? It's incredibly fast. The whole marriage thing happens so fast, but it doesn't feel rushed either. It just felt like, okay, we've got a matter-of-fact thing that we need to get through here, and they did it in a very artful way. And I was all on board for that. And that whole scene with, you know, the eye for the dragon stuff, incredible. And it made all the slower stuff at the beginning of this episode pay off big time, because I got to see everybody's emotions and the hair trigger that everybody was on. And as soon as an insult hurls, boom, everybody. And I knew it, too. I was like, oh, my God, is Aemon really going to get on Vhagar when I know that whichever daughter, I don't know their names because the show never told me their names, of Lena wanted that dragon, and kind of I expected her to be the first to really get a crack at that dragon. So when he jumps on it, I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. And if there is an upcoming like civil war in the king's house, they just want another dragon. And then I was like, Rhaenyra sees that,
or Rhaenys sees that. The queen of the chessboard, like Vhagar, like they really made an impression about how just fucking big and powerful this dragon is. And Otto did not miss the, like, yeah, you know, Rogue Prince, he just won us a big old piece on the chessboard.
Yeah, that was the one thing that was disappointing to me, is that I'm starting to reason like Otto does. I don't like that. I don't like it.
He's not leal, but he's not dumb neither.
Sure. Sure. It just makes me feel icky. There's a lot of stuff that makes me feel icky. Like, you know, she may not be a child anymore, but let's not forget Rhaenyra is still Daemon's niece.
They're Targaryens. They're exceptional. They're exceptional people, those Targaryens.
Yeah, I guess so. But that was still grossing me out. And they're playing, like, they're doing their best with the romantic strings, trying to make me, like, feel like this is a big moment for these lovers. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like, they also did that because, you know, I thought the conversation between Rhaenyra and Laenor was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, they're really going to have them murder him
right.
in cold blood after she gave him all that respect and all that love. And they murdered some other poor fool and did the old body swap. Which is interesting. I wonder what if anything will blow back from that little episode. Man, they're really selling the idea that if Viserys dies, this thing is going to fly the fuck apart. This thing is just going to bust wide open, because it's even in the Kingsguard. There's like divisions.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Where it's like
with Kristen and Harrelson or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Harold Westerling, I believe is his name. The Lord Commander. He's kind of like not, he needs to get control over this. I get that this guy's her sworn protector, but that's kind of ridiculous. They were at a hand's breadth away from something really going bad here. I saw people floating around. Did you have a problem with the fact that all these kids were able to kind of sneak around and do whatever they want? You know?
Not really, but I don't know the situation with like King's guards and servants when it comes to the children.
Yeah. I mean, the show asked and answered it. Like, it was an open question about where the King's guard was, but there's only 7 of them. There's a lot of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to be in bed. But on the other hand, like, yeah, that's the whole point of having a King's guard, you know, they're supposed to protect this,
royal babysitters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's my bigger question with the Kingsguard was, where was Rhaenyra's? Does she not have one? Because Rhaenyra should have been right there when Allison came with that knife and stopped.
I thought that was
shit.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little crazy. I don't think she has a sworn.
Yeah. Who is her Kingsguard?
I don't think she has a sworn protector. It doesn't seem like it. She's
didn't need one with Harwin around or what?
Well, it's kind of up to the king about who is extended the Kingsguard protection and who isn't.
And he wouldn't want his heir extended the protection? That's crazy.
I just don't know that he expected them to get murked on Driftmark, you know? You know, like, do you need...
Sure.
And like the Kingsguard said, it's like, you know, we've never had to protect the royal family from each other before.
Mm-hmm.
Just like there's all this, like, you know, I thought it was interesting that the priest was officiating over the funeral. Man, I also love the different religious customs. I love the kind of slightly neo-pagan Driftmark funeral and that priest giving side eye and being like, our blood runs thick and true, unlike other houses I could name that cast their seed willy-nilly. And, you know, I thought that was cool. And did Daemon giggling at this, like, you know, not seeing it as a threat or anything.
Yeah. I bet the Kingsguard thing is because she's out at Dragonstone, right? Like she came back
all
from
at Driftmark. This is all at Driftmark this episode.
Yeah, but she came back from Dragonstone. Did the Kingsguard ever leave King's Landing? Do they go?
They can, yeah. Like there was three. I mean, you'll recall that Rhaegar devoted 3 Kingsguard to protecting Lyanna Stark when she was with child in the Tower of Joy incident.
Right.
So, like I said, there's you can definitely send them around, and they go this way and that with the royal family. And again, it's a lot of it's up to the king. But
even when they move, like permanently.
Well, again, it's up to the king. Like, she could go out there all by herself. I didn't think when she moved her household out over there last episode, I didn't see any Kingsguard in attendance. But, like, I guess they no sooner got there than they got recalled to Driftmark to do the funeral. And
right.
I thought it was really cool seeing all the dragons flying all around Driftmark, kind of, you know, just kind of wheeling in the sky. Mm-hmm. That I don't think we've ever seen that many dragons on screen at once. I thought Helena Targaryen spouting a whole bunch of really interesting cryptic shit. You'll recall that she, in some of the battling she was doing about that insect, she mentioned that, you know, the last one didn't have any legs, and we talked about how that might be an allusion to Bran. Mm-hmm. But she mentioned, you know, when Alicent was talking to Aemond about not having a dragon, she mentioned that he'll have to shut one eye. Was that a prophecy, Jim?
Could be. I don't know. She's got a clear fascination with bugs and insects.
Yeah. And I thought all the kids and like how the different stages of committed and conflicted they are. Like I think it was Luke that, Lucerys that Corlys said, you know, try to puff up and be like, yeah, all this is going to be yours one day, lad. You're going to be Lord of Driftmark. He's like, I don't want it because if I'm Lord of Driftmark, it means everyone else is dead. Like this kid's like, you know, Jesus, there's a lot of death going on in this family. I thought that was really cool.
The way of the world, kid. Everybody dies. Children are supposed to outlive their parents. Come on.
What do you think about Viserys calling Alicent Aemma? Is he slipping a little bit, or is he just...
I didn't notice.
Yeah, when he was going off to bed, he said, I'm going to bed, Aemma. And, you know, the herald was there to be like, would you like to me to see to the Queen Alicent, my liege? And I was wondering, is he... Because, like, I don't know. I feel like last episode, it seemed like Aemma was on his mind. And all the things that he's given up, like, you know, the gods being particularly cruel to him. Because it didn't seem like he was foggy any other part of the episode.
Yeah, there's the one shot where Alicent tries to go to him and, you know, start pouring the honey into his ear again to try and win back his favor. And he's just like, I don't want to talk about it. I feel like that was him slipping a little bit, but I don't know.
I also like the, like Rhaenyra, it's now her turn to underestimate Alicent. Like, she's like, I don't think Alicent's capable of murder. And she's kind of right and wrong.
Kinda.
Like, she didn't literally, and she was shocked, but also she's not going to disavow this guy, and she's going to be, I thought that was, that's such a great line, her, you know, kind of like chiding him, but it's like, you know, your loyalty has not been, or your service hasn't been unnoticed or something. I can't remember the exact quote. And Larys there, just like with his chest puffed out, he's got, you know, the Otto's back to being the hand. Boy, I loved everything about Aemond claiming Vhagar. I thought that was a great, great scene. It's a little Harry Potterish, but you know what? I like Harry Potter. I feel like 4 out of the 7, 8 movies has him swinging his leg over some fucking flying beast and woohooing through the sky, barely in control. But you know what? Like I said, I like it. I like those fantastic beasts, and I thought it was like Vhagar, kind of like, are you sure about this, kid? And then like putting him through it, like, you're gonna try to ride the biggest and baddest. I'm gonna give you, I'm not gonna make it easy on you. And he claimed that dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool.
There's still lots of hot D to talk about. We'll be back right after the break.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel, Shogun, into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to Shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain, featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th, with a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Now back to Hot D. There's so many great lines. I thought, the Rhaenyra and Daemon scene where they're talking about, like, you know, them needing to get hitched up and talking about, Daemon's like, perhaps the Valyrians have the better of it. The sea's the better ally. The fire's a prison, but the sea's an escape. And, you know, I want you to be my lord husband and people won't fuck with us when we're together and let's burn together. I thought there's some really good writing, really good individual scenes and soliloquies and monologues and stuff that I think they really excelled in the first season or two of Game of Thrones, too. I was really impressed by this episode, the lighting conditions notwithstanding.
Yeah, there at the end were several switcheroos. Because I thought at some point Rhaenyra said she doesn't want to rule through fear, but or maybe she just didn't want to do what it took to rule through fear. I can't remember exactly how she phrases it. Mm-hmm. And then we see her, you know, plotting to kill Laenor, and I'm like, well, okay, you kind of change your tune on that pretty quick. And then the right. Very last shot, it's another switcheroo where you're like, oh, I see, okay.
That's Jeez. Still, like I said, yeah, you didn't kill your husband, but you killed some rando guy that, you know, but you didn't. And the whole, like, the people whisper and, like, let them whisper. And then they'll just wonder what else we're capable of. And mm-hmm. they'll think about that before they fuck with us. I do wonder. Yeah. I thought it was crazy. Alicent coming after Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
Also, the maesters can't, I mean, I don't know, maybe doctors can chime in here, but, like, there's some ugly stitch work in this, like, Frankenstein stitching happening.
Gut. I don't know that.
You can still keep it small, though, man. Like, this is a prince, and it's a
sheep
face.
Gut and whale bones as needles. I'm not sure.
Yeah, this felt like some kind of drunken pirate surgeon did, you know, that thinks scars are cool.
Yeah. Should have given him a swig of rum before stitched him up.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, there's another credible scene with Rhaenys and Corlys where she calls him out for, like, pursuing, you know, quote unquote justice for her at the expense of their children. And
he admits to it finally.
He admits to it. And also, like, don't you care that these people aren't of our blood? And his line about history doesn't remember blood, it remembers names, calling back to how insistent he was about these kids having the Valerian name. Yeah, we'll see how the history books remember him.
Allison continues to be so infuriating to me for not realizing how much of this is on her. Like, she's been holding a grudge for a decade. Mm-hmm. And plotting behind the queen, the princess's back for a decade. And then she's like, I've only done what's expected of me. Really? Seems like you're the instigator of this entire thing.
I mean, we'll have something to agree to disagree, because I think
she's scared. She's actively plotting against the princess because she's scared.
Because she thinks that she knows. Well, and I think she's right. She knows what'll happen when all this stuff comes to a head. So it's like she wouldn't. I don't think she would call it plotting. She would call it counterplotting.
Oh, of course.
The inevitable,
of course, that's what she would call it.
It's insurance policy. But I think she's right. Like, I think you think this is a joke that, like, oh, if she's just nicer to Rhaenyra, that, like, everything's going to be hunky dory when Viserys dies. And I think that the fucking show is trying desperately to tell everyone no. Like, Otto is probably right. Now, if Viserys were a better king and he had gotten ahead of this a lot sooner, maybe things would have been different. And he would have just really mm-hmm. been ruthless about putting people down and started, like, cutting people's tongues out earlier and putting people to lords to the sword earlier when they started talking shit, maybe. But I mean, the other thing is, like, I appreciate what we got from the Laenor Rhaenyra talk was that they did try. Apparently, there might be something wrong with Laenor's plumbing, but they did try repeatedly mm-hmm. in the initial part of their marriage to make something happen there. And it wasn't that Rhaenyra was like, oh, I don't give a fuck. It's like they just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other things started happening. But
I don't think it's a joke. I just think she's been offered paths out of this and she's refused to take them.
What's her path out? I don't understand.
That marriage offer works eventually. Like, there might be some lords who don't like it, but it kind of settles the score. Like, eventually,
it saves her prince. It saves the princess. It doesn't save any of the other sons. It doesn't save Alicent for sure. Like, I just, like, yeah, it's,
well, but
I,
it joins now, their houses further down the line. And it's,
guess,
like, it's like Corlys says in this episode, you know, he wants the throne. Yes. And if that comes through his son or through a grandchild or whatever, that's fine with him.
Yeah,
I don't know. I view that as the smarter outlook on it. But
yeah, what do I know? I just think that it would. Lord. I don't think it would save her and save her children in a bloody challenge of succession, which again I stress is not up to Alicent and Aegon. I really like Daemon this episode. He seems like he's the true steel. Like, that took some balls to go hunt down Vhagar, and then also he handled those kids, man. Aemon was fighting yeah. him all off like
it's Jackie Chan fighting a group of middle schoolers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's that much older than them. He just wasn't having any of their bullshit. And, you know, again, they're mourning their mom and all that. But, like, yeah, if you wanted the biggest, baddest dragons laying unclaimed, you better go claim it. You know, you better not let your mom's saddle go cold because somebody else will get to it first.
Yeah, I mean, this is a kid who's been bullying back is what it is. It's kind of gross.
It's Ender's Game. Like,
sure,
you know, he's a gentle, Defender. Innocent, sweet kid, and now he's pushed to incredible violence.
Yeah, except not by Bridges, Jeff Bridges. Wasn't he in
Bridges?
That?
What
I don't
fuck?
Remember.
It's Harrison Ford, if we're talking about the
Harrison
shitty
Ford,
movie
yeah.
adaptation.
I am.
But
I've also read the book.
Thank God, because you might be forgiven to think that just sucks. And then, right. I guess the last thing I want to talk about is what you think about Daemon completely rejecting his brother's offer to be brought back into the fold.
To be a second son again? I guess that's not what he wants. I get it. He's never wanted that. Why would that satisfy him now?
By the end of the episode, I feel like it's fine because he's going to be, you know, Rhaenyra's husband. And I quite like the Targaryen, or I guess I should say the Valyrian wedding. I'm getting it from a producer that the on-screen chat is lagged. Is it frozen?
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
I don't know if there's any way to restart it or get it, but like at that. There it goes.
But it
there
means it I can't see any of my shit.
Oh,
problem. I need six more monitors, apparently.
That telling you, dude, we have the solution. I can help you out with that. I got five over here. Yeah. I'm not hurting for screens. I do have to pan around to see everything, but I get the thing done. Do we have anything else we want to talk about? Because I mean, there's just an incredible amount of things to talk about this week. And I felt like I'm gonna have to watch this a couple more times, but I really like this episode, and I hope this helps people understand that like we didn't really miss a lot in that 10-year time jump. Mm-hmm. You know, now we're into what I think we're coming into the shape of like we're finally getting to the point where I think we're ready to tell the story that everyone is here to hear. You know, the we're finally ready to we got the stage completely set for the Dance of the Dragons.
I don't actually know what the Dance of the Dragons is. I thought it might have been them getting married. I'm kind of looking at each event going, is that the Dance of the Dragons?
Is this the dance?
Is Aemon mounting Vhagar, the Dance of the Dragons? I don't know.
It was Daemon mounting Rhaenyra in the sands.
Uh-huh.
Oof, sand sex. It just seems like a bad idea. A bad idea. There's not a beach blanket big enough to keep all that silicate matter out of the crevices and stuff you don't want it to be in. Yeah, I don't know. Never been brave enough to try beach sex, but it doesn't seem like it's a good time. So I've seen the dark. They're doing dark beach sex. You don't know when you've rolled over. You don't know when a crab's about to come and get pinchy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're going to be the crab feeder part two out there if you don't watch it.
And then here comes Viserys right behind you with the fork and a knife. Sawing away.
Yeah.
They're on the beach getting those crabs.
Well, what do you think? Are we ready to go and see what the people are saying?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'm alluding to the fact we're about to shift over to the instant talk portion of the Instant Take podcast. This is exclusively for our club members who can interact with us live through the YouTube interface immediately after each Sunday night's episode. If that sounds like a good time to you, if you want to get these reactions as quick as you can and maybe have something to say yourself, go to support.baldmove.com and check out all the different ways you can support us, including the club. Of course, if you want to send feedback, long form feedback for a feedback episode out later this week, that is hotd@baldmove.com. Our full podcast will be out Tuesday. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys there.